Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Order Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it's 2:32 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is April 26th, and we've had a pretty weak day on stock markets today, and commodities are very mixed, and energy is holding tough, industrial resources starting to pull back, and a good part of the reason for that is because of China. So the CSI 300 was down again in here today, and that's despite the fact that Xi Jinping was quite vocal in supporting the outlook for infrastructure development and saying that they're going to introduce measures to try and support the economy. And the People's Bank of China was also vocal in saying that. But despite the short-term oversold condition, investors are now in a show-me mood because they've been expecting some form of assistance for a while now, and it hasn't been forthcoming. And of course, it's also these statements are also taking place against a background where the renminbi has weakened quite significantly over the last 2 weeks, and it was a little steadier in here today. But when we zoom in and just look at the daily chart, it initially rallied and then sold off throughout the day to finish on the low of the day. So, we're still in an environment where there's a lot of uncertainty being expressed about the health of the Chinese economy because, despite the onerous quarantine rules that have been introduced in Shanghai, it hasn't quite yet got on top of the coronavirus. And it is looking increasingly likely they will have to lock down Beijing. So that is two of the major population centers and economic centers of gravity for the entire country, and it will have a knock-on effect on growth. But of course, what it also means is that there's going to be increasing difficulty in actually getting infrastructure projects off the ground. The people that are considered essential workers in China generally tend to be volunteers providing assistance in the form of sanitation or following government directives directly. It's not like in California when they had a lockdown, they designated half the population as essential workers, which obviously means that the quarantines were a nonsense. But this is having a knock-on effect on some of the industrial resources. Now, when we think about copper, it's right in the region of the 200-day moving average, and it was in negative territory today, but not breaking downwards. So it could yet rally. And oil prices did rally. They bounced from around the $100 area. When we think about the renewable energy sector, General Electric pulled back really very sharply in here today, down in excess of 10%. And one of the reasons for that was because of negative performance in their renewable energies. So they're losing money on building wind turbines. And a good part of the reason for that is because of the ramping up in the cost of commodities. So this is having a knock-on effect on the ability of companies to profit because they're running margins that aren't wide enough to deal with commodity prices. So that suggests that renewable energy prices are going to start rising. And of course, that's also going to bite into their competitiveness relative to other forms of energy. So this is going to have a knock-on effect on demand for commodities. When we think about a slowing Chinese economy, both slowing production and slowing demand, then the big question is, will global demand and supply compensate for the lack of those factors in China? So we're going to be in a more volatile environment. And we've definitely seen that some of the industrial metal miners have pulled back in a sharp manner over the course of the last 2 weeks and completely unwound the overbought condition relative to the 200-day moving average. So they're exhibiting a very similar pattern to the copper price. But industrial resources generally still have some way to go before they get all the way back down to that 200-day moving average. Now, it pulled back really quite violently yesterday, so this index isn't updated through today. But when we look at some of the industrial resources, aluminium had been doing really very well and has almost unwound. It's over a bought condition relative to the trend mean, but this is the largest pullback we've seen in years. So we're due at least some consolidation, even in a bullish case. Some ranging and support building around this area wouldn't be, I think, will actually be required before a move up to significantly higher levels could be justified. When we think about the zinc price, it had also been rallying really quite impressively. So we're also looking at the potential here for a deeper pullback, and it's still really quite overextended relative to the trend mean. We've had exceptional volatility on the nickel price, and then it's worth reminding ourselves that one of Indonesia's primary tools is to curtail supply. And that was one of the contributing factors to the big move up in tin. But it is now back in the region of the trend mean. The problem is that these are inconsistencies relative to the previous trend. So we have to then look at more back history and put into perspective the size of the move that we've had in the aftermath of the pandemic. And it's quite likely that we're in for greater volatility and that there's going to be a lengthy period of ranging because we're going to have a big argument unfold about whether we're in a secular bull or secular or cyclical bull market environment. And if it's a cyclical bull market environment, then potentially we're close to a peak. But if we're talking about a secular bull, well, then this might only be the first step above the base. But it does look like we're going to have a war going on to figure out what the answer is. And that is likely to result in a great deal of ranging and volatility. So we have to anticipate that there's going to be bigger pullbacks. There's going to be sawtooth profiles. And perhaps it's worth just looking at how did these industrial metal miners perform when we had the last big bull market. So BHP Billiton, it certainly went up a lot in the last big bull market. And then it's also worth reminding ourselves that in that time it had pretty big pullbacks. And when a share comes back from 1170 to about 780, that's a big pullback. And it would have been very easy at the time to think that the bull market's over. And then it subsequently more than doubled. And then we had an even bigger pullback in 2008. And it more than doubled and, in fact, tripled from those levels. So, when we start to think then about where are we in this cycle, we've had a massive infusion of liquidity. So, that has contributed to exceptionally high prices in a short period of time. Now we're starting to see some of that liquidity getting taken out. And large numbers of central banks are starting to raise rates. And I think that we're certainly seeing a lot more interest in from central banks in trying to take some of the liquidity out of the system. They know that they can't increase the supply of oil, and they can't increase the supply of gas in as quick a manner as it's been taken out of the market by the conflict in Ukraine. So natural gas prices continue to rise, oil prices remain very steady. Gold continues to hover here in the region of the $1,900 area. but it's certainly not rallying in a dynamic manner. And we could be in for more volatility in some of the commodity prices because of these uncertainties. What we've seen over the course of the last 6 months is that commodities have been strong despite the fact that the dollar has been strong as well. And that's not normal. Generally speaking, big bull markets in commodities coincide with bear markets for the US dollar, and the dollar has been resurgent over the course of the last 12 months. Now, this is the Bloomberg Dollar Index, so it has renminbi and the Indian rupee in it as well, and it is coming back up towards the upper side of its range. The conventional dollar index, which is majority euro, is testing its peaks. This is representative of a very strong dollar environment because investors are willing to bet that the Federal Reserve is going to raise rates faster and more than any other central bank. And they're probably right. But we've seen bonds pricing that in and then some. So 10-year yields got all the way up to 3% last week and are now starting to come back down. So we're looking at slower growth. That's the primary objective of raising rates and withdrawing liquidity. There are more emerging markets tightening policy simultaneously today than at any point since 2010. So this withdrawal of liquidity from the market isn't simply about the USA. It's every country is doing it. It's only a question of which ones are doing it fastest. Then we can think about the knock-on effects from the war in Ukraine, because that is helping to support energy prices. So industrial resources are starting to come back down more because of China than Russia, but energy prices are being supported more by Russia than China. And because liquidity is starting to be siphoned out of the market, then we're starting to see that equity markets are picking up pace on the downside. So the Nasdaq has continued to deteriorate, and it's now right back on its lows from March. Now it's been down on consecutive days, and it's short-term oversold, but this looks like a massive reaction against the prevailing trend with a period of right-hand extension. So a completing type 2 top formation. And if that's the case, well, then we should anticipate that it's at least going to come back down and test the region of the 1,000-day moving average. And I believe that that is what will be required before the Federal Reserve will relent and decide that they're not going to raise rates in an aggressive manner. And that would suggest that there's about 2,000 points of fat that could be taken off the index. And Tesla was down by about 10% in here today. So right back now in the region of the 200-day moving average, and still has the sequence of lower rally highs. Google, having broken down last week, has not rebounded, and it was failing to hold the move upwards from yesterday. So this also looks like a bearish chart. So what we have to, I think, contend with is that the vast majority of stocks went up because of massive provision of liquidity. And now we have significant narrowing of breadth. Gold prices might be quite steady, but gold shares have pulled back in a really dynamic manner. Now, I personally think that this is setting it up for a buying opportunity. I'm not buying just yet, because I've been conditioned from looking at markets over the last 20 years to expect volatility in commodities, and they're generally best bought after really good-sized shakeouts. So we've certainly had a big pullback, but we could pull back more. And I think until we start to see some visibility about the provision of additional liquidity, then being cautious about deploying additional cash is going to be the order of the day. The Nasdaq is weak, but the S&P 500 is now starting to play catch up and is also back in the region of its lows. The Dow Jones Industrials have held up better, but they are now also rolling over. It's down 700 points in here today. And then the Russell 2000, which generally is considered to be less volatile in terms of interest rates, is looking increasingly likely that this is also a completing type 2 top with right-hand extension. So we could quite easily see another significant leg lower from here. Well, I took out a position in the TLT today because if we do see slowing growth and we see liquidity getting siphoned out of the market, generally that's positive for bonds. And bonds have sold off aggressively and priced in multiple interest rate hikes. Well, if the Chinese economy does slow down and some of the inflationary pressures moderate simply because slowing growth is going to kill off demand, and that will be beneficial for bonds. And I think that it's unlikely we're going to see quite the same number of interest rate hikes as investors have been willing to price in. Now, we can also think about some of the companies that are doing better. Well, because of this war in Ukraine, natural gas is becoming a globally fungible commodity. So US natural gas prices are breaking out of their base formation. UK natural gas prices are finding support at the lower side of the range that's been forming over the last year. And Dutch natural gas prices are testing their all-time highs. So these arbitrages between markets are going to get ironed out as the volume of gas that's traded internationally via tankers is something that's going to increase over time. We're also likely to see volatility in oil prices because obviously there's going to be pressure to increase supply. There's been a reluctance to invest the money necessary to achieve that, but slowing growth will also have an impact on demand. So we have to anticipate that growth is going to slow down because liquidity is being siphoned out of the system. And then when we think about the yield curve, it was inverted and then it bounced, and now it's starting to come back down again, and we're around the 20 basis point level right now. And the high yield spreads had been really quite inert until this week, and now the spread is starting to move higher again. And generally, stock markets run into real trouble when it trends above the 500 basis point level. And we're really not all that far away from it. And considering the speed with which this measure can move, the trend alone is enough to be a sound of caution. So we're still in this corrective phase, and there doesn't seem to be much sign that it is over. And in fact, we are really seeing is that commonality on the downside is starting to spread. The holdouts are starting to roll over, and commonality right across the stock market on the downside is starting to emerge. So that is certainly a cause for concern. It suggests that there is going to be an additional step on the downside. And realistically, I think this is what I've been anticipating for months. I've been thinking that the stock market would sell off ahead of the first interest rate hike, that stock market investors would price it in before we get the interest rate hike. There's then the potential that we bounce subsequently. So we're going to get the interest rate hike next week. That would suggest that we could see a bounce because we'll have a short-term oversold condition heading into that event. But the extent to which that bounce keeps going is going to be very heavily determined by the supply of liquidity. And I think we're still a bit early yet for the Federal Reserve to about face and say that they're not going to aggressively raise rates. So there's the potential that we get a bounce next week, but I think some investors who've been caught with losing positions might use that as an opportunity to sell at a reduced loss or flat. And then we might get another leg lower until we start to see central banks relenting. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.